Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Fleabag Season 2, Episode 1.
Season 2. We're in Season 2. It's a miracle.
You're just glad it's going to be over.
There's that. I don't hate Season 2. It's fine. But we have disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers. And before we talk about what we're having to drink, because we're having these drinks, I wanted to point out that, yes, this show is called Buzz Binging. This season of Fleabag actually talks about alcoholics and alcoholism. It comes up in a lot of episodes. And just in case you're thinking that we're out here promoting alcoholism, we're not.
No, no, I hope no one thinks that.
Well, I hope no one thinks that too, because we're not. And we don't, like, get wasted when we watch these shows, and we don't get wasted during our episodes, although sometimes we get like silly.
Usually that's just off of one drink, honestly, and maybe that makes us lightweights, but
that should be a hint that we're not promoting alcoholism.
No,
but in any case, for at least some of these episodes, I am planning to go teetotal, which is actually something that's discussed in this Episode 1 of Season 2. I'm having club soda with a dash of lime. What are you having?
I'm having Pinot Grigio, a big glass.
It is a big glass.
You'll see it on the Facebook. You gave me one and then I added more.
I tried. But in any case,
I'm always a heavy pourer. So
But
that's why I have you pour everything, because you at least try to make things even and not like a full glass full.
But you are more of a white wine drinker than anyone else in the house. So when you open a white, you got to like have Natalie in mind. And when you buy whites, you have to have Natalie in mind. So that,
I mean, it's not even my preferred drink, but you know, but I mean, if I were to rank kinds of wines, like categories of wines, it would probably be sparkling first, which, I mean, I get that from you.
Yeah.
Red wine, rosé, and then white.
Well, there's so many subdivisions.
The thing is, red wine just goes with a lot more than rosé for me. So
red wine goes with everything.
It really does.
You know, white just seems a little limited, especially with your palate.
But certain kinds of like chicken and anything with citrus, it just so goes well, or something buttery.
We've done a number of different wines, but with that lemon basil chicken, that pit bull
is so good.
So good.
And also with, like, I'm just imagining like a bowl of popcorn, like buttery popcorn with this.
That's champagne, girl.
Yeah, it wouldn't go well. It was Chardonnay would, but not of those.
True. Okay, fair. And sorry. We are in the wine pairing and we're a little crazy. I am a little crazy about all of that. But yeah. That is not the purpose of this show. The purpose of this show is to cover shows like Fleabag. So we're starting season 2. And this one starts interestingly.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. I love this episode.
I do too. This is actually one of the best episodes of the show.
No, it is the best episode of the show.
It may be.
It is.
I can't remember a lot of the other episodes of season 2. Probably.
Trust me, Mom, it is. It is so good.
I think
what's so unique about this one is that it's a bottle episode. And if you don't know what that is, a bottle episode is an episode of TV. I think Seinfeld popularized it in a way because it's a episode of TV that just takes place at one location the entire time. And you're just watching the characters go through a situation. For example, in Seinfeld, there's the Chinese restaurant bottle episode that became extremely popular. I'm not as well versed in Seinfeld. It's one of my blind spots for some reason. I've watched a few episodes.
A lot of seasons.
No, that's true. But I watched Friends. So, I mean,
the same elements.
I'm aware of that, but, like, I need to get back into watching regular TV and not YouTube. And I will get back into that. I'm planning on starting today. So, I'm going to catch up on stuff since I was unavailable for the majority of the past, like, 2 months. I have been doing a show. So, I need to get back into the other stuff. Anyway, so, this episode, much like the Seinfeld episode, takes place all at a restaurant.
Single dinner.
Yes. And I know I mentioned this in the second to last episode of the last season, but I absolutely adore when these characters, like this family unit, is made to be in a situation where they have to be polite, but they are also very passive aggressive.
Usually so.
So good. I love it so much. I love it. Anyway, so this takes place a year later from the
a year and a bit
from the end of the last season. At the end of the last season, we have the whole blow up fight about if she kissed Martin or if Martin kissed her with Claire, and Claire's upset with her
sexposition.
And the sexposition. And wow, I just realized sex position. That's funny.
Yeah.
I know exhibition, but it's also anyway. Sex. You get it. But there was this whole blow up fight, and then she had this crash out about Boo, and then she is wandering the streets, and then the lender gives her a second chance. Right. So
this episode actually starts rather sneakily, because mm-hmm. you see Fleabag in the bathroom. She has what appears to be like someone punched her in the nose. She's bleeding from the nose. She's trying to clean herself up. She's in the bathroom of a restaurant. There is someone else there with her that we later find that is waitstaff that also has a similar injury.
And for whatever reason is on the floor.
Yeah.
I don't know why she's on the floor.
I don't either.
It's kind of funny.
Like she's having a meltdown.
Probably.
This is a really...
There's also a man outside asking if she's okay. We don't recognize his voice. Mm. Well, I do.
Because we watched Sherlock, but still.
We'll bring him up in a second.
Yes.
And she hands the other woman a towel, and then she looks directly at the camera, as she often does, and goes, "This is a love story."
And you're kind of like, what the fuck? Love story is this?
Is this the way it starts? I don't know if I like that.
Yeah.
And then we go back to the beginning of the dinner. Fleabag tells the camera that she has gotten her shit together. And I will say this episode utilizes the fourth wall breaks even more than usual, in my opinion, just because she doesn't really seem to be participating in conversation at the table because of her reformed ways.
She's behaving well. She's trying not to interact.
And also it's used as exposition for like the time that was passed. But luckily, I think this was smart of the writers to do. I'm sure there were other people, but Phoebe Waller-Bridge was very smart mm-hmm. in having her not be in contact with her family for that entire period of time. Like, she hasn't even seen Claire since the blowout fight. And so she doesn't know what's going on with that. And then so she's speculating with the audience for most of this episode.
Right.
Anyway, so Fleabag has gotten her shit together. She's healthy. She's saying no to toxic sex with anal guy. I love that they brought him back for a brief cameo. That's very funny. We never see him again.
Yes.
And then she also says that Claire is still angry with her. She has not spoken to her in a year. Martin's there, and he's awful, and I hate him. Mm-hmm. Dad and godmother are engaged. Big shocker. Dad is still inarticulate, and even when he was trying to like give the speech at the beginning of the dinner, he really should not be made to do speeches. It's horrible. And a random guy is also at the table, seated next to Fleabag. It's Andrew Scott. So Andrew Scott, if you don't know, is a fabulous Irish actor, and he is,
and he has been in so many things. He recently, well, obviously on our show, we covered him in Sherlock.
Oh, and I loved him in Moriarty.
He is fabulous as Moriarty.
Oh my God, he's so good. And he's been in a lot of things. I can't name them all. You need to look him up. If you haven't heard of him, he's fantastic.
Right. I mean, he was in the John Adams thing with Paul Giamatti. He was Paul Giamatti's secretary. He was John Adams' secretary in that. And he's American. And he's fabulous. But he's also, he recently did...
He did something with Colin Farrell kind of recently. A movie. Or was it...
No, he did...
It was Paul Mescal that he did something with recently, I think.
So he did a series in black and white.
The Rip...
Fantastic Mr. Ripley
So I almost said Rip Van Winkle. That is not it.
No. And it is, he is menacing in that.
He's menacing.
It's a little hard though. Like, I really originally seen the Jude Law and Matt Damon version, and that's really very interesting too.
I haven't seen either
to compare.
Version.
It's fun to compare them.
Yeah, I haven't seen either version, but either way. So Andrew Scott is at the table with them, and he is a cool priest who curses and is just really chill, and he is open-minded to a certain degree. So Claire and Martin seem to be doing well. They're both sober currently. And there's also a needy waitress who is just trying to be, she's not relevant. She just is coming in for like comedic relief every now and then being like, well, can I help you with anything, please?
Over solicitous is I guess the way I'd look at it is like, oh, I'll get you this. I'll pour for you. I mean, and she's just too much. She's just too much of everything.
Yes. And Claire is commuting from Finland, which is crazy.
Yeah. And she and Martin are not drinking. So
yeah, I mentioned that. And there's this really funny exchange. Where we're just going to call him Hot Priest because that's what they call him. Andrew Scott's character, Hot Priest, is like, is there a reason you're not drinking? And Claire says, he's an alcoholic, referring to Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, cool, my parents are alcoholics. And she's like, oh, great.
Yeah.
And then moves on.
Yeah, I mean, everybody just is like, we're not touching that. That's third round. Yeah,
but what I love about it is it sounds like a regular conversation.
Well, yeah, okay.
It's the normal flow of a conversation, even though he just dropped a bomb on the table that like could have been talked about. You're just going to skate past it real quick. But Martin announces that they're trying for a baby and they stop drinking for a lifestyle change because it is said that if you have a lifestyle change, then it can help you have a baby.
If that was what the obstacle was to begin with.
Claire is loving Finland and seems happy. Fleabag finds this, like, observes this.
Well, right, and part of what's interesting is Claire is not somebody who's usually very forthcoming. She's not very chatty, but she wants to chat about her work, and she has to get cut off, honestly.
And gets cut off many times.
Yeah, but it's interesting. It's interesting, too, that Godmother does some of it, even with Claire, because she's usually just so blah.
But she also wants the center of attention, because it's her engagement dinner.
Well, she wants the center of attention because she is an attention whore.
And also, just to be clear, at this dinner are Godmother and Dad, Claire, Martin, Fleabag, and Hot Priest.
And so it's almost that's like Fleabag and Hot Priest the are there, that. Like, as a couple.
No, I mean,
they aren't. But
they're not.
It just seems awkwardly numbered.
Godmother and Dad went to Japan recently with this exhibition. And there's a moment where Fleabag, who has been talking to the audience this entire time, she has not been contributing once to the conversation. She looks directly at the camera. Oh, well, actually, maybe there's actually one moment where she asks for tequila from the waitress, but the waitress was the only one to ask her anything.
Yeah.
And also Hot Priest also gets tequila, so love that for Hot Priest.
Right.
And so she looks directly at the camera, is like, no one's asked me a question in 45 minutes, and then gets cut off by Hot Priest asking, what do you do?
Yeah.
And so he's paying attention.
Right. And he's actually the only person who turns the conversation to her.
And everything goes silent at the table. Nobody wanted to talk to her or bring her up. She's really window dressing to them at this point. It's like, well, we're inviting Claire and Martin, and we might as well invite your other child too, I guess.
Yeah.
And we find out later that they didn't even see her on her birthday. They didn't see her at any point in between this the end of last season and this season, which is insane to me.
Yeah, and she says she owns a cafe and she says it's going well.
And then she confirms to the audience and to them at the table that it's actually going very well. Actually truly going well.
Yeah.
Like, she is not in financial ruin anymore. That loan seems to have helped her so much, and she's really gotten back on her feet.
Right. And I think it's one of those ownership things too. It's a loan from the bank to her. It's not like something she owes her family. It's not something she has to repay to them.
Yeah.
This is something she's doing for herself.
I think that's another reason why she like was so hesitant to ask for money at all last season. Mm-hmm. Last season she contemplated in the first episode to ask money from Claire, but she doesn't do it. And then when her dad brings up, oh, well, we don't have any money to give you. And she's like, oh, no, that's not what I'm asking. I think she genuinely doesn't want to ask for help from them because she doesn't want to be beholden to them.
It comes with strings.
It always comes with strings when it comes to family. It does. And even from the bank. But the bank, it's laid out in a contract.
Well, right. And it's not got the personal jabs of, yeah. Oh, you know, that, you know, exactly. Family.
Oh, don't. So if you ugly. Can help it, don't do it. Yeah, anyway, seriously. Fleabag has to have intermittent smoking breaks because she can't handle her family.
And Hot Priest goes out to like join her out there for the smoke break. Mm-hmm. And Fleabag leaves, but
like he's about to strike up a conversation, and she leaves.
And she leaves, and he's like, "Well, fuck you." And she turns back and she smiles at him, very flirty. She's clearly turned on by him.
Well, the funniest part about that situation is you could have taken offense to him saying, "Well, fuck you," then. Mm-hmm. But then he smiles at her when she turns back, knowing it was just a joke. And he was like, "Well, clearly, he got the message that she doesn't want to talk right now."
Well, but it's and also he respects that. Hilarious that so a funny. Priest is saying fuck you.
It's so funny. And there's a moment later where he goes, Jesus Christ. I love it so much.
He is very inappropriate.
The humor with Hot Priest is probably some of my favorite humor the show ever does, because as a Catholic person, a cradle Catholic, I also did Catholic school for most of like elementary and middle school, all of elementary and middle school. And so having, and it's kind of like with the Dairy Girls, with mm-hmm. like the Catholic humor in that, it's not irreverent, really.
It's a bit irreverent,
but there's still some, and I'll talk about it like probably next episode, but they aren't making fun of you for believing in God. They're making fun of like the institution at large, which we can all make fun of. Pomp and
caricatures, the caricatures of the institution too, and actually, yeah. Hot Priest makes fun of it in this episode. So
yeah,
let's proceed.
Anyway, so that's a really cute moment, and so they go back to the table. The priest says that he found his calling later in life. Like they were like, oh, did you always know that you wanted to be a priest? He's like, fuck no, absolutely not.
Is your brother like? Is your family involved? And he's like, oh no, my parents are just alcoholic lawyers, and my brother's a lorry driver.
He also says this will be his first wedding to officiate, and the godmother apparently wants for the guests to make a donation to a charity in their name. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. Okay.
I mean, that's noble.
Yeah.
Godmother is giving. Sorry, go ahead.
So, but Fleabag is also like, I don't think he's a real priest. And he's like, no, really, I'm a priest. And Godmother picks up on the fact that Fleabag and the priest, there's sparks flying. And it bugs the shit out of her.
Because she wants, this is her priest.
It's her priest. It's her everything. Except that we don't see her as having any religious affiliation of any kind. She is not somebody who has that as a part of her identity.
And what she wants is the spectacle of there being a priest. Because there's at one moment, I don't know, I didn't write it down when it was, but there's a moment where like he's not at the table and she's just like, oh, I'm so you can leave work without the collar thing that priest had. And she's so disappointed that he's not like showing off like the uniform of a priest and like all that stuff. She wants the outward appearance
of every, that's always the most important thing to her anyway, which is why she's
there's
horrible.
No
one of the major reasons she is horrible. But he says, I'm sorry. She notices, so she changes the subject, and
she's giving
she mentions that Claire was the one. That Claire's stepson is the one that introduced them. Mm-hmm. So he plays the bassoon, except nobody
sings in the church.
In the church band.
Yeah.
And that then got
Claire involved. That got Godmother involved.
Blah blah blah. And then she says, "Oh yeah, I'm going to do a portrait." That's going to be your gift to me, is I'm going to do a portrait of you girls.
No, it's
going
to be her gift to her husband.
Oh, it's a portrait of you girls.
Mm-hmm. Which is shocking that she even includes Fleabag.
She's talking about how Fleabag's not photogenic. I'm like, oh my God, this woman is gorgeous. Are you fucking kidding me?
And I think you see a moment of the priest being like, what? Mm-hmm. It's because like he's looking at these two beautiful women and is like, okay, like, what are you talking about?
And then they're like, oh, you know, don't you do stuff with your brother or something? And
he's like, no, not really.
Well, my brother is a pedophile. It's like, oh, okay.
And he's like, I know how ironic that is. And yeah, it is.
It is.
Fleabag takes another smoke break, and her dad comes out and gives her a birthday present because he missed her birthday.
We assume it's money.
Yes, because it's in a card.
It's in an envelope.
And he's like, it's to help you. It's for you. And she's like, oh, no, the cafe's actually going well. And he's like, no, this is a present for you. And he's like, and she's like, okay, cool. And he's like, I'm just surprised you're not being naughty. And she's like, because it doesn't matter. And yeah, she says that she's happy for him. And this shows so much growth for her.
Right. It does not, it's not important to her to stick it to him because him being happy doesn't matter to her.
Like, she's not antagonizing anybody because what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
And I think that in general is a lesson you learn as you mature. Like, once you stop taking into account all of these little things that needle you and just let it go, I mean, it really does take a weight off your shoulders.
It does.
I found that especially, like, taking a break. This is a really weird tangent to go on, but, like...
But we're going to.
But we're going to. I did theater for such a long time, starting middle school into high school.
I was the annoying theater parent. Like, you need to go, you need to go, you need to go. And I did that.
No, that was her dance. That was her dance. You didn't really have to push me too hard after I got into theater.
Yeah, but I'm the one who made you go to theater originally.
Take credit for it. Whatever.
I am.
Great. Anyway, so I did theater for a long time. I was usually doing two shows at once. It was a whole thing. That was basically most of my personality. Then I went to college and didn't do any theater for 3 years. I did a little bit of, I was the Shakespeare Club vice president and all that stuff, but I didn't perform in a play for 3 years after that.
Somebody here was thinking that was bad.
Thank you, mother. I had to figure it out for myself. I didn't need people telling me. Going into my senior year of college, I finally got the chance to audition again and got in, and it was great. But it made me notice how many things how tightly wound I used to be and how seriously I took everything. And not that I don't take it seriously, but like once you just kind of let go of all of those, like, and once you're just happy doing what you're doing, the little things don't bother you as much. And I think that's a level of maturity that I'm glad I have made it to. And I'm glad that Fleabag has also made it to. Because you can be all grumpy about your circumstances all you want until you, like, try to make an effort in, like, getting out of those circumstances or accepting them. You're not really going to be happy.
You gotta own your own life.
Yeah.
No one's making you
can't,
decisions.
You can't control everything around you. That is not how life works. So no. Just get over it.
Yep.
Anyway, so I like that Fleabag is making that point in that moment, and that the dad is like, oh, okay. I'm kind of surprised that that came from you, but all right. Fleabag then is coming back to the table and sees Martin taking an alcoholic drink, and he says that he's intrigued to see how she'll make the whole evening about herself
drinking. You said you weren't drinking. Fucker, you're lying.
And then also that should, like, show up on your bill. So yeah. I don't know how that's gonna look.
Well, unless he's just buying a drink at the bar and paying for it.
But it comes from the waitress. That's why I'm confused. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and how they shouldn't arrive at the table together. Otherwise, people will get the wrong idea. Wow, I hate you.
But he's goading her, and he's really awful.
He really just wants her to blow up, and I don't understand why.
I love some of this, though. So they get back to the table, and Claire's like, I learned all about bottling up my negative emotions, and you know, we just don't acknowledge that they exist, and they just go away.
No, what I love about that is that when it comes to positivity, I've excelled. Like, it's like a crash course or something you're going to take a test for. Like, she's like, I've excelled at this. I bottle all of my negative emotions up, and then one day I'll die. And then they just go away. And then the priest looks really concerned.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, I don't know if that's the point. And then she's like, no, that is the point.
Well, and then you get to see that she is clearly happy in Finland.
Yeah.
But they start asking about her job, and they don't even know what she does.
She's in finance, but
they keep saying she's a lawyer, and she
works with lawyers, but she's in finance. And what another thing I love about that section is her being like, being this happy takes work. And it's true, it does take work.
Right.
And then she's like, putting pine nuts on your salad doesn't make you an adult. And the flea bug looks at the camera and is like, yes, it fucking does.
Exactly. It's terrifying. But one of the other things about this is, like, Blair, you rattled off about, like, she's suddenly deeply offended that no one knows that she's not a lawyer. But she knows Fleabag knows she's not. And so she's like, why aren't you saying anything? You know, like,
she's annoyed that Fleabag is just being really quiet.
I think she expects Fleabag to be bad kid or, like, the
center of attention. Yeah, because now that the spotlight's on her and they're not talking about something she's passionate about, like Finland, they're just kind of, like, asking her all these weird questions that they should already know. Right. And so she kind of is upset that Fleabag isn't getting any of the attention this time.
Well, I don't think that that's it. I think she is used to being able to hide whatever weird is going on with her because there's always something way out of whack with Fleabag. Like, you know,
That's a better way to put it.
I get to be good kid and we'll just focus on the terrible with her. And Fleabag's fine.
And so she gets annoyed about that. And then she's just like, why are you being so quiet? And she's like, what do you want me to say? And then she's just like, what's that? And she points out the card that the dad gave her. And their dad gave her. And
it's a counseling voucher.
it's a voucher for a counseling session. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
There's what's so funny about that is Gamma is like, it's a good thing, Claire. And to be fair, therapy for Fleabag would make a lot of sense. Like, you do need to figure out why you are the way you are. But I think a lot of that's already
on with her. They haven't seen her in 18
that's
months.
That's the problem. That would have been a great gift months ago.
Yeah, a year ago.
Like, I think we're not that a fully developed human does not need therapy. I'm just saying that Fleabag seems to have gotten her shit together to the point where she knows why she was doing what she was doing. And
she stopped doing the
shit. She self-actualized in a way that she doesn't need to have the self-actualization anymore. Because it would just be someone telling her what she already knows.
What the?
And in many ways, she was already aware of why she was doing what she was doing. She just needed to get out of that spiral somehow. And thank God the lender got to her when he did. Because otherwise, it would have ended more tragically.
Definitely.
Anyway, Claire, they have this passive-aggressive back and forth, like, with a thinly veiled reference to, like, what happened with Martin and all that shit.
This discussion of happiness is not what you believe, but who you believe,
mm-hmm.
Which is Fleabag's response. And so Claire just storms off to the bathroom.
Well, no, she notices something. She says fuck, and then she goes to the bathroom.
Yes.
And Fleabag follows her to the bathroom after a little bit, and Claire says she needs essentially a pad. And for those not in the know, a pad is for a feminine product. And it's
your monthly.
Don't call it that. And
hey, I mean, when you're cursed, would you prefer
that? That is what we call it. We call it my curse.
Yes.
You know, cursed. I'm not cursed right now. I just got over being cursed.
Yay.
But it's because Claire needs a pad, but it's not because she just randomly got her period one night. It's because she had a miscarriage. And Fleabag sees that, and she's trying to help her. She's like, oh, my God. And then Claire says this really unhinged thing. Get your hands off my miscarriage. And then she goes, it's mine. And then in a very small voice, this is a wonderful acting moment for the actress. It's mine. And I think Claire's deal, and I love this, like, I love what this show did in this time to separate the two and figure out that Claire really blames a lot of her stress on Fleabag. And now that she doesn't have her to blame anymore, she now has to take
ownership
of all the bullshit that's going on in her life that she was going to fix but didn't. Like her marriage and all that bullshit. And she's stretching herself out so much with the whole commute to Finland. And so it's affecting her body in a really unhealthy way that is leading to miscarriages. And it might not just be that, but it certainly probably a contributing factor. I think that's what the show is hinting at.
Right, especially at this point. I think there are other things that we learn later.
Yes, and so she It's so sad. But Fleabag says they need to go to a hospital, and Claire agrees. But when they get back to the table, Claire does what she usually does and folds. And
she's like, let's have wine. It's like,
sorry, babe, I'm getting wine tonight. And he's like, okay. And it's like,
and everybody joins in. Let's get an and hot priest like, let's get another bottle. Okay.
Yeah, and Fleabag is just standing there in awe. Like, what the actual fuck is happening? You actually need medical attention. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, and she's panicking. And so she starts to, like, say, well, I'm just gonna... And she has great lines in this. This is so good.
Well, first, she's annoyed that it's being swept under the rug so much that she just yells, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's kind of like, what is happening with you? And she, like, is struggling to answer because everybody's, like, hounding her with questions about why she's now acting out. Because now they're curious, like, okay, what's your damage? What's up with you? And
I was like, oh, I'd just rather stay here at this passive-aggressive party. It's like,
for some reason, I'd like to stay and have a passive-aggressive party. And she says that she had the miscarriage.
Right.
And then Claire's like, what the fuck? And then cause she's just trying to get Claire out of this.
Right.
She's trying to end the party so that Claire can go to the
hospital and get treated.
Claire is so impacted by what other people think of her that she, even if she's in medical distress, she's not going to even leave a family gathering. Like, mm-hmm. It's insane. Of all the people who should understand that you need medical attention, it should be your family. Anyway, Claire essentially is sharing details as if Fleabag had told her about the miscarriage. But she's also being really, like, offhand about it. Like, she's fine. Don't worry about it. And then the priest is like, okay, Claire, I don't know if we should do that.
Exactly.
A child has died.
And then Martin starts in with, it's probably for the best.
I fucking hate him.
The worst ever.
Go die in a hole.
Fleabag's like,
go die in a hole.
And this is what he said. He said, well, it's the kid's choice, isn't it?
No.
The kid just didn't want it. He committed to a goldfish, just didn't want to be in the bowl. It's like, okay, clearly you don't even understand the biology involved.
You don't understand jack shit.
You don't understand jack shit. You are. And you have a child. So
what the fuck?
He has a teenage boy that you should know better than this.
I hate him so much.
He is so awful.
And he's willing to say that in front of his wife, who he doesn't know. He shouldn't say that, period.
Thing. Nobody does anything to defend
him. Everyone's just kind of looking at him like, what the fuck? And I think the priest, if given enough time to think about it, would have defended her, but he doesn't really know her that well. But
and he's not really sure. Like, clearly there's a lot of landmines here. There are a lot of landmines in this group.
And everybody else at the table, not a single person. Obviously, Claire's in shock because her husband just said that, and it's actually about her miscarriage.
Yeah.
And she's trying to process all that bullshit. And again, realizing that her husband's an absolute dipshit.
Well, and her husband's basically saying that, oh, yeah, if my wife had a miscarriage, it would be, like, totally because the child didn't want to be there. Like, what are you talking about?
And this is something that is so interesting that they do with the godmother. And it's piled on with the whole priest thing. But what they do with the godmother is she, like, is all over Fleabag about, like, oh, who's the father? Who's this? Who's that? All the questions that you would ask eventually.
He's not involved. He's not involved.
And she's making it a big spectacle. And it's like, okay, no, please don't do that. That's not the time. But also, oh my God, it's such a mess. So Fleabag looks at Martin for a few seconds and then punches him in the face, as she should.
Which is the best thing.
It is true.
It is
what she needed to do in that moment. Because if I had just had a miscarriage in the bathroom and came back and someone said that bullshit to me, I'd punch them in the face too.
He starts flailing and he starts punching people.
He punches her, which makes her fly, her head fly back into the priest's nose. And then he, like, flails his arm and then hits the waitress in the nose. Everyone's noses are getting broken.
Yes.
Or someone's eyes are getting blackened and all that bullshit. And so, we're back at the beginning of the episode in the bathroom. The priest is waiting for her outside. That was his voice we heard.
Mm-hmm. And he says they've all left.
Yes.
And kind of like it's safe to come out.
Well, not that. I think he's just like, well, they're all gone, so I guess I have your st and he's very sweet. He brought her stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't like leave it at the table. He brought it. He was waiting outside of the bathroom. He's such a gentleman.
Yeah.
I love him. Anyway, so he
In case you're wondering how to get Natalie be a gentleman.
essentially, yeah, it's very
It's really not that hard.
it's very
It's not
little.
hard.
It's not hard,
No.
but so few men
They don't even make the effort.
they do not
It's
make the
so
effort. It's
sad.
so annoying.
It's so sad.
Anyway, so he says he'd be there for her if she ever needs anything. Fleabag is walking home when she comes across Claire getting into a taxi, and she gets in with her. Fleabag tells the driver to take them to the nearest hospital, and then they have like this like nice companionable silence, and then Claire just goes, "That priest was really hot," and she's like, "So
So
hot,"
hot.
and that's the end of the
That's the
episode.
end of the episode. The introduction of Hot Priest.
And I've just got to say, hot priest is my type. I'm
Oh,
sorry.
Scott's your type. Except if you see him in the Fantastic Mr. Ripley, you might change your
Oh
mind.
well. But this kind of character is my type. Like, he's sarcastic, doesn't take himself too seriously, hot.
That's kind of
He's
one of the
funny,
criteria.
and he's funny, and he but he's also he has core beliefs also. I love that. I'm
Yeah.
sorry.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what core, well, it does matter
It
what core
does.
beliefs.
The fact that these are
Not
Catholic.
religion necessarily, but core beliefs in general and a
Right.
moral compass.
So your best parts.
My best parts are Fleabag getting her shit together. I love
Yeah.
that she has self-actualized, and she, I don't know, I just love that she took the time and she is better. It's not something, and she's healing and she is
And
doing
she's
a
also
lot
getting
better.
dragged back into some of this shit, so
She
yeah.
is, but she's been avoiding it for a while, and I think that it makes a lot of sense that her and Claire haven't talked. First of all, Claire's been so busy. Second of all, I wouldn't want to be the one to reach out at that point because your sister just accused you based off of her husband's false accusations that you kissed him. That's not something you bring up. You've already spoken your piece. She doesn't believe you. Don't bring it up. And so, yeah. Then Hot Priest. I love Hot Priest. He's a great addition to the cast. I think, again, he's my type. He's very funny. I love the humor they do with him. The overall tone, I love the passive aggressiveness, that entire fucking thing. I like
They do
that.
that really well in the show.
I
That is
they
really well
really
done.
do. And I love that Fleabag, who it she only brings up once that no one has asked her a question. She's being a lot less selfish, I think, I feel, than she has been in the past. She is more caring about like the updates of other people's lives, like Claire's life in particular, and how happy she seems and how happy she is for her,
She's
and
acting like
learning
a
more about
huge.
this new guy, the priest, and all that stuff. She doesn't give a shit about her godmother, but her dad, she's happy that he's happy and all that stuff. She's being a lot less self-centered, and the one time she does bring up, no one's asked me a question in an hour or 45 minutes, then somebody asks her a question and then she shuts up about it the rest of the time.
Yeah.
And she's not trying to butt in on the conversation. She is letting it happen around her. And she's not trying to make anything about her. And that's why Martin's comments about, oh, I can't wait to see. There's at one point after she's announced the miscarriage. If that were true, fuck you. Martin says, now she has her spotlight. It's what she really wanted. Fuck you.
Oh, that
Imagine
is
someone
just
telling you
the
that when
worst.
you just had a miscarriage and you have to announce to the table.
That's unreal.
Shut the
It's
fuck up.
unreal. Yeah.
I'm sorry. And Claire. I fucking love Claire. Claire is
Love
so
Claire
funny.
too.
She goes through a lot in this episode. It's a whole roller coaster of emotions with her sister, with the Finland stuff she's very happy about. But what I really love is the humor with her of like, I've excelled at happiness. I bottled up all of my negative emotions and they're dug deep and they'll never come out. It's like, what? I'm sorry. We and she's being sickeningly sweet with Martin at the beginning of, like, dream team, we're sober. And then by the end of it, she's like, fuck it. It's so funny. I love her roller coaster of emotions. The miscarriage is obviously very sad, but I think it's also a journey for her this season. We're focusing on her journey in many ways this season of self-actualization and figuring out that her sister isn't the heart of all of her problems. There are things in her life that are not going the way she wants them to, and she's not doing anything about it.
Well, it's very similar, actually. It's been true for her. I mean, she doesn't have anyone to cast the blame on. But the truth is, I think everybody, and it's like Fleabag said at the end of the last season, everybody goes through this. You have to take ownership.
But no one talks about it.
That's not entirely true. Well, that's what she said last season. So anything else? In the best part?
Well, just with Claire, I like that we're seeing her journey to self-actualization this season, while we saw Fleabag's last season. Now we're seeing her, Fleabag, adjust, like, in her own way to her new
surroundings. Oh, Fleabag's fucking up her life in a different way.
It's different. But she is more healthy. She's in a much better spot. And so she
can fuck up her life.
Well, expand on that. What do you mean?
We're going to cover it over the season. I don't need to expand on it now.
Okay. Anyway, I just like the tone shift from last season of it just being all colossal fuck-ups. And it's not just... there are colossal fuck-ups.
Oh, indeed.
But I like the tone shift to Fleabag having her crush instead of it just being about sex. It's actually, and it's like, oh, someone's in love with me too. I really hope he brushes my hand. Like, it's so juvenile, but also lovely in a way. Like, you've seen this character be like all shades of like wrong and just really just out there.
It's a different kind of self-deprecating, but she was self-deprecating before. It's like, oh, he's going to say something, you know, like...
No. I'm just talking about her being a little bit more giddy about it.
Yeah.
And, like, enjoying someone's company. And we're seeing her connect with somebody in a way she hasn't really before.
Well, right. We saw her in breakup mode before.
Yes.
This is, like, maybe she was like this with Harry when they first got together.
I highly doubt it. She never treated Harry right. She never really had that connection with Harry.
Yeah, but I think she does still get abusive in relationships.
We'll get to that. I think that this setup of it being a love story, I think, is also very fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
It's going to be like more of the through line instead of just a series of fuck ups on her behalf.
Yeah. So my best part's Andrew Scott. He's so freaking good. Love him. And I do love how he is utilized in this season. It's fantastic. Fleabag, again, I love where she is at the beginning of this season. I agree with you. I think that she is really, and we see that her reactions to things are not wholly out there, that her family is that fucked up, and those big reactions sometimes are completely warranted, especially Martin.
Yeah.
And Godmother. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I hate him.
They're both horrific, and they are my worst parts, just skipping ahead. But also Claire. I love Claire in this season. I especially love Claire in this episode. I think, you know, that whole manic, I'm self-actual. No, I'm not. I mean, you know, it's like,
I've become positive.
I'm not fine. And I think that is a fun exploration in this season too. So what were your worst parts, since we already know?
Caps, Martin. Shut the fuck up about matters you do not understand.
Yeah.
And also, don't try to piss your sister-in-law off just for the sake of a more interesting dinner. Don't do that.
Well, right, he's such an ass.
And also, you yourself are having trouble with fertility. You, of all people, should be more empathetic to someone potentially having a miscarriage in that moment. But because it's Fleabag, or actually, it didn't even have to be Fleabag. It seems like he would be like this with anyone other than Claire.
Mm. He might be that way with Claire, but we just don't know.
But he wouldn't express it with Claire.
Maybe.
I think that's what they're trying to tell us. And I hate him. You should never say that. Especially, first of all, not in public. Second of all, never. Third of all, to your sister-in-law.
The person who is
just had a very traumatic moment, according to her. Don't fucking do that. Godmother. I don't like Godmother. She's more tame in this episode than I think we've ever seen her. However, that she's still awful, and she's like interrupting Claire when she's talking about Finland. She's really like hopping all over Fleabag about the miscarriage thing, and it's like that's not important information right now.
She's horrible.
It's a lot. And I also put dad question mark, because first of all, you've missed your daughter's birthday. There was not really a reason for you to miss your daughter's birthday or to send that in the mail. Like, you could have easily have done that. Also, I don't think the voucher is a bad idea, considering he doesn't know anything about where his daughter is in her development as a person. Obviously, she's more further along than he expected. But, and in a way, I'm glad that he has seen that in a way, because that conversation outside her being like, it doesn't matter, I think that really made him realize, okay.
She doesn't care.
You actually don't care. Okay. Interesting. And you actually do seem happy for me. Oh, wow. Okay. He just doesn't know how to express it. And
he doesn't know how to express a lot of things. He can't get sentences out. It's really sad.
But I also hate, I think why I wrote him down is because he doesn't defend her. Ever.
But, and especially in this situation, like, if you heard
that your daughter had a miscarriage
in the bathroom at a restaurant,
you'd be okay. Like, get it, call 911, you're going to the hospital. Yeah. 999, sorry. What? British.
Yeah. But one of the things that I love about this show is there's a lot of realistic stuff, and it happens, you know, you see Fleabag in the bathroom, some in the first season. This episode is what happens with family dinners, like you go to the bathroom and discuss, like, wow, that was fucked up, yeah, or whatever. You that is a very real experience that I think all of us have had. That, yeah. That or because she smokes, the stepping outside to smoke or whatever, because you aren't going to interact with guys in the bathroom.
Right. Was smart of them.
Unless it happens to be the Cornetto trilogy, in which case, and World's End,
Sam and
King. Yeah.
I forgot his first name.
Oh, yes.
I forgot his first name.
Yes. But
Gary.
Gary King. I was thinking Roy. I knew that was wrong.
Nah.
But yeah, so that is a very real experience, especially girls. You know, it's a thing that happens. But what grade did you give this episode?
A+.
I didn't give it an A+. I gave it an A. And I'm rethinking. I originally gave it an A-. So I gave it an A. I still think I stand by A. I don't think it's an A+ to me. There's a lot of really good stuff to the structure of this episode, and it is unusually well structured for this show to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I may rethink it. I may tweak stuff, but right now I'm thinking it's an A.
The reason I gave it an A+ is, well, first of all, I've not hid my...
not hidden. I have not hidden.
I have not hidden my love for this episode. I think it's hilarious. I think that it is a roller coaster of emotions. I like that it's a bottle episode. I don't usually like bottle episodes, but this one really works for me because of the characters and the situation. I think it's a great introduction episode for Hot Priest. It really does cement that the fourth wall breaking works in this universe. Because if we had to get the exposition any other way, I don't think I'd like it as much. And so I love it. I think it's great.
I do think it's really well done. There is an element, like when we started talking about like the structure of who's at this dinner, it gave me a little bit of that Pride and Prejudice. And what excellent potatoes.
Yeah, what excellent boiled potatoes.
It's just that tiny bit, like, so farcical. But I'm not sure I can give it an A plus. It's really very good.
And that's fine.
Might be though. I mean, some of the dialogue is really excellent.
It's so good. My parents are alcoholics. Oh, great.
You can imagine filming this was just like so falling all over them. So laughing. Funny.
You know.
The entire outtakes of this episode particularly would be fucking great.
So good. I just think that if I were to show, I could show this episode to anybody. And, well, anyone within reason. And yeah, they would have a fun time. I think what I like about it is that it can be taken out of it and you can get the character dynamics just from this one episode. And you don't need to have seen the first season to understand why this episode works the way it works.
Yeah.
You get caught up with the characters just fine. You're getting an idea of who they are through natural sounding conversation. And you get introduced to a character and it feels like a natural introduction.
It does. So we have much more to cover with season two of Fleabag. I think this is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that there's some things coming up that I'm really going to have a good time with. In any case, we hope that you join us. And
cheers.